Well, let us pray. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom through Christ our Lord. Amen. The gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, a very familiar passage, I'm sure, to many of you. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed a strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Then the second reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 10. But how are they to call on the one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The story is told of the Sunday when the aged Vince Lombardi coached the Green Bay Packers. And the Green Bay Packers had been beaten and beaten badly. They'd gone down to Chicago to play the Bears in one of the great NFL rivalries. And the Packers got hammered that Sunday. And Lombardi, as a football coach, was fuming. And so when the Packers got back to Green Bay in Lambeau Field, Lombardi informed the men that before they got off the bus that they were to go to their lockers and there they would find the uniform that they wore that afternoon, still soiled and dirty. They were to put it on and meet him at the 50-yard line. A half an hour later, the team assembled in the middle of the field on that cold Wisconsin night. And Lombardi told the team of his great disappointment in their loss. And he said, "It's time for the Green Bay Packers to get back to basics. It's time to set aside all of the fancy plays and patterns. It's time to review and relearn the fundamentals of the game." And with that, Lombardi took a football and he held it high in the air and he said to his players, "Gentlemen, this here is a football." Every couple of years, we have this opportunity to watch the Olympics. These incredible athletes whose young lives have been focused pretty much on one thing, to make it to the Olympics and to win the gold medal. And the Olympics don't only focus on big sports where professional athletes today set aside their schedules and the NHL suspends play or the British Premier League in soccer suspends play to enable their athletes to participate. You also have amateur athletes who do not get paid, starting to train with the end in mind, the gold medal. You don't just stumble upon a gold medal. You just don't get the Lombardi Trophy. You focus your life on it. Many from when they were young in the single digits of age started out with a single purpose in mind, to be the best. It shapes their identity. It makes them who they are. All of this for many of them before they even get to college. And what I find perhaps even more interesting in the Olympics is to watch the parents of these athletes watch from the stands. Every hope and every ounce of anxiety and expectation can be measured in their faces and in their body language of the moms and dads waiting and watching their babies. Every emotion of love. They've been following their children from the very beginning, and what they hope for is for their son or daughter to do their very best. It's a great blessing in life to have someone watching you from the stands with hope and expectation, someone who is cheering for you. Someone who is there for you. Can you imagine that about your life? Can you imagine that you are being cheered on from the stands? Can you imagine that God, our Creator, is watching your life as an expectant, hopeful, anxious parent. The writer to the Hebrews says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And it is in the center of that great cloud of witnesses that God sits watching us. So we have to ask ourselves, what is God watching for? What does God hope to see? Would God worry about us? What goals does God have in mind? What is the gold medal to which we aspire? Is it finishing first? Is that what God is after? Is it getting all the answers right? Is it landing on top? Is it crushing your opponents? What is God looking for from the stands? What is it that gets the gold medal? Now, to imagine these questions, we have to imagine as well that you and I matter to God. If God is in the stands, then it matters to God how we are doing. God is watching over us, making certain for our safety. Now, there's something interesting that happens in your life and in my life, in this life event that God is observing. And what's interesting is this, that gold medal that we were talking about, that gold medal that we always seem to be pursuing, that gold medal is already given to us. We've already received the gold medal. It's been given to us at the beginning of our lives, at the beginning of the race. In our creation and reaffirmed in our baptism, God gives the gold medal to us and hangs it around our neck and says, "You are my child. You are the best. You are a champion. You don't have to earn anything. I've already given it to you. It's grace. All that I hope is that you would live your life with all of this in mind. And it is throughout your life that God is watching over you. God is watching over the good times, and God is watching over the times when struggles come our way. God is watching over the highs when we feel like we're on top of the world, and He's watching over the lows when we barely know whether or not we can put one foot in front of the next." Which is where we approach our story this morning. Our gospel passage comes immediately following one of those high moments in the life of the disciples, where Jesus miraculously feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. No one understands it, and certainly no one can explain how it happened, but 5,000 men and most likely an equal number of women and children are fed with this meager amount of food. Jesus taking care of our basic needs. God in the middle of our lives watching over us. And immediately following this, Jesus sends the disciples off onto the Sea of Galilee, where winds come up and their ship is tossed around, and the disciples, we are told, are terrified. And it's in the midst of this fear that they look up and they see Jesus coming to them on the water. Once again, in the middle of life's regular circumstances, we see God appearing. Our God is not just in the stands. Our God approaches us in our times of need. And maybe one of the great challenges in the midst of these struggles of our lives is to actually look up and realize that God is there, that God approaches us when we struggle, to see the hand of God reached out when we feel like we are going to become overcome by the waves. I beg you, Paul says, lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. I beg you to lead a life mindful of whose you are, mindful of who is watching over you, mindful that God loves you. Your life is something that you lead, and you lead it by virtue of who you think that you are. If you think you have to earn your value, then you will live your life trying to earn your value. If you think that life is about having all the right answers, then your life will be spent trying to always be right. But Paul says, lead a life worthy of the calling. Lead a life worthy of what you have been given. And each one of us has been given that gold medal around our neck that says that we have been called as the children of God and that we matter to God. This is the football. This is why the church is in business. It is core to the mission to live into the gold medal that is already around your neck, to know that you matter to God, to know that God is there for you and that God is rooting for you. And as God is rooting, God is also hopeful that you will join in that mission, the mission to tell others that they matter to God also. Paul tells us that the football is telling others about God's love. How are they to call on the one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in the one whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Friends, as followers of Christ, we should live our lives with an overwhelming sense of God's grace. Every day, every moment of our lives is filled with grace. Moments where we step back and we see in the midst of life's circumstances God's grace. And as we do that, we are called to help people discover this grace as well. Help them to discover the gold medal that they already have. To help people see that life is less about the ending and more about the beginning. And at the beginning for all of us is this great, great gift of grace from our God who loves us. Bubba Smith, the late great NFL defensive end after his retirement, became famous to a new generation of people when he starred in the Miller Lite commercials of the 70s. Those commercials popularized the phrase, "Tastes great, less filling." I actually contemplated having a little challenge here this morning. Bubba Smith loved doing those commercials alongside of the other ex-NFL players working for Miller Lite, but then came the day that he was invited to his alma mater, Michigan State, and to become the Grand Marshal of the homecoming parade. It was a great honor for Bubba Smith. But he was in for a shock because instead of hearing the polite applause of all of those fans for whom he was as a person, what he heard from the drunk crowd was, "Tastes great, less filling," all the way down the parade route. And he realized that his being had more to do with beer at that point than with being a person and having played a Hall of Fame football career. Smith said, "I didn't like the effect I was having on a lot of people. When kids start to listen to what you say, you want to tell them something that's the truth. You have to stop compromising your principles." And he got home and he called the Miller Beer Company and told them he was through. "I want to be known for the man that I am," he said, "and not the beer I promote." Lead a life, Paul says. Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And where do we lead our lives? We lead them outside of the doors of this church. As important as meeting together is, as important as it is for us to gather on Sunday mornings and worship and share in fellowship and rejoice in what we have been given, the crucial step is in front of us. What matters most is what happens at 11:15. What matters most is what happens in the dismissal. Do we take our medals with us? Do we bear the grace? Do we live into that calling? Or do we place those medals in a case somewhere and go out and live as though they never were around our necks? Stephen Ambrose, in his book D-Day, the historian, gives a blow-by-blow description of the events leading up to and the execution of the D-Day invasion. It included the decision by Eisenhower on when to begin the operation. And many of you probably know that weather was a very significant factor in choosing when to go. It caused a cancellation in the original date, and the troops were ready, the ships were loaded, the planes were on alert, and the commander-in-chief had to decide whether or not to risk the weather forecast and give the order to go, or to delay longer, maybe another month, for the timing of the tides and the moon. Inside, Eisenhower knew one thing. An army isn't any good when it stays in the camp. You may have the best army in the world, but if it remains idle, then what's the point? And he took the chance, and he gave the order to go, and history changed. The world changed as the Nazi Empire was defeated. The biggest difference you and I are going to make is not here, inside the walls of this church. It is out there. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's time to move out. And the difference you make is you being yourself. The instrument of grace that you allow yourself to be, the metal with which you equip yourself, knowing that you're grace, knowing how and why you are grace, knowing that God cares for you, knowing that God loves you, and channeling that grace through who you are and how you live. My friends, this is the football. Amen.